sweet memory comes on the evening wind. I sleep and dream of holding in my arms again. The lights of Brownsville across the river shine. Shout rings out until the silty red river I die. How long, my darling, for your kiss, for your sweet love I give God thanks. The touch of your loving fingertips
up, guys. DJ Runaway here, coming to you on a Thursday, my usually Tuesday show had to be postponed to today because I was attending the Gloria Steinem lecture, which was so awesome and so worth it, no offense, but here I am, right here on radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. Today's topics have no system at all. It's all so random, but it's so good not to share. So I really took a deeper look into why I have a passion for health and fitness, and basically I wrapped it up into this one show. First off, I have the reasons why exercise is good for us, as if we don't already know. It's 2015 and people should all already be up to date with staying healthy. Anyway, I also have some fun nutrition facts, and really by fun, I mean just about as fun as nutrition can get. So lastly, I wanted to talk about running, not only because it's my favorite workout, but because I've really been researching on how to power up my runs. So okay, let's start with all of the fabulous reasons why we should all be working out. Number one, exercise boosts brain power. Not only does exercise improve your body, it also helps your mental function. Exercise increases energy levels and increases serotonin in the brain, which leads to improved mental clarity. And all of that makes for a more productive day. Todd A. Astorino, assistant professor of kinesiology at California State University San Marco, says it's clear that those who are active and who exercise are much more productive at work. Improved productivity not only makes you a better worker, it makes things better for everyone in the workplace. Companies with less wasted work hours and less sick time end up with lower healthcare costs and an improved health, bottom line. Alrighty. Next one is movement melts away stress. As much as it may stress you out just to think about exercising, once you actually start working out, you'll experience less stress in every part of your life. Exercise produces a relaxation response that serves as a positive distraction, says Cedric Bryant, chief exercise psychologist for the American Council on Exercise. He says it also helps elevate your mood and can keep depression at bay. You're not the only person who will benefit from more happiness and less stress in your life. When you're less stressed, you're less irritable, and that could improve relationships with the people around you. The next one is exercise gives you energy. You might be surprised at how popping in a workout tape for 30 minutes in the morning can change your whole day. When endorphins are released into your bloodstream during exercise, you feel much more energized the rest of the day. And when you improve your strength and stamina, it's easier to accomplish everyday tasks like carrying groceries and climbing stairs. This also helps you feel more energetic over the course of the day. A common excuse among clients is that they're too tired to exercise. And while exercise may make you feel more tired at first, it won't last very long. The physical tiredness you feel after working out isn't the same as everyday fatigue. Besides, once your body adjusts to the exercises, you'll have more energy than ever. The next one is that it's not that hard to find time for fitness. The key is to use your time more wisely. Think about killing two birds with one stone. Go to the park and ride your bikes, and you're getting in physical activity while enjoying time with other people. And beyond that, go for a hike, take the kids swimming, or play hide and seek, tag, softball, or horseshoes, wherever you can find a horseshoe yard. I don't even know what that is. At work, schedule a meeting on the jogging track or on the golf course. Also, forget the idea that you have to trudge to the gym and spend an hour or more doing a formal workout. Instead, you can work short spurts of physical activity into your day. Everyone has 20 minutes. Everyone has 10 minutes to jump rope, and sometimes that's better than 20 minutes of walking or running. Instead, squeezing in two or three little 15 or 20 minutes of activities is just as effective as doing it all at once. Vacuuming the house in the morning, riding bikes in the park in the afternoon, then taking a brisk walk in the evening can add up to an active day. Recent U.S. government guidelines say that to lose weight and keep weight off, you should accumulate at least 60 minutes of exercise a day. But a half an hour a day is all you need to reap the health and disease-fighting benefits of exercise. Number 5 on the list is fitness can help build relationships. Think of what exercising with a partner can do for a relationship, whether it's a spouse, a sibling, or a friend you used to go to lunch with once a week. Not only that, but exercise is always more fun when there's someone to do it with, so plan to walk after dinner every night. Meet your sister or that friend for tennis or an aerobics class instead of lunch. Besides, people who have exercise partners stay with their programs and reach their goals more often than those who try to do it alone. For long-term weight loss, you need to have social support. The next one on the list is exercise helps ward off disease. Research has shown that exercise can slow or help prevent heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, type 2 diabetes, arthritis, osteoporosis, and loss of muscle mass. It also helps ease some aspects of the aging process. Because exercise strengthens the muscles and joints, it is going to reduce your odds of having some of those aches and pains and problems most adults have, mostly because of the inactive lives that they lead. Provided you don't overdo it, exercise can even boost immune function, so you spend less time down with a cold or a flu. There isn't a major health problem where exercise cannot have a positive effect. The next one on the list is fitness pumps up your heart. Not only does exercise help fight disease, it creates a stronger heart, the most important muscle in the body, that helps makes exercise and the activities of daily life feel easier. Your heart and cardiovascular system will function more effectively. The heart will build up less plaque. It will become a more efficient pump. And when the heart becomes stronger, it pumps more blood per beat. So at rest, the heart rate is lower. It's not going to have to beat as fast to expand the same amount of effort. Within only a couple of days after you start exercising, the body readily adapts to the stimulus it's getting and becomes easier. You will feel less fatigue. It will not take as much effort when it comes to breathing. You shouldn't have any pain or soreness either. Number 8 on the list is exercise lets you eat more. Pound for pound, muscle burns more calories at rest than body fat. So the more muscle you have, the higher your resting metabolic rate. And of course, you also burn calories while you're actually exercising. All this means that cheating with a cookie once in a while isn't going to take you back 10 steps. Can you eat anything? Probably not, but you can afford to enjoy some of the things you really like when you're exercising regularly. You can better get away with the things in moderation than you can when you're not working out. Exercise also boosts performance. After a few weeks of consistent exercise, you may feel your clothes fitting differently and you see that your muscle tone has improved. You also notice that your newly pumped up muscles in other ways, especially if you're a recreational golfer or tennis player, or if you like a friendly game of basketball. Exercising consistently will strengthen your muscles, increase flexibility, and improve your overall performance. Your muscles will work much more efficiently if you gain a greater sense of endurance. In addition, your reaction time and balance will improve. The last one on the list is that weight loss is not the most important goal. Weight loss is the reason many people exercise in the first place, but it's certainly not the only benefit of an exercise program. The long-term goal of weight loss is sold too heavily in people starting fitness programs, and that can be discouraging. People have trouble sticking with something if they don't see results quickly. Really, they should think about the level of functioning in the activities of daily living. That can serve as the motivation to keep them coming back for more. So whatever weight loss goal you have when you start a fitness program, don't make it your only goal. Strive to feel better, to have more energy, to be less stressed. Notice the small things that exercise does for you quickly, rather than getting hung up on the narrow goal of the number on a scale. With a goal of losing weight and enhancing health, exercise has to become part of a person's life. All right, and that's all I have for the reasons that you should be working out. Now stay tuned to hear all about the super fun nutrition facts that I have right here on radio.dominican.edu.
One more time.
nutrition facts that I could find. Hunter, number one, hunter-gatherers in the Australian outback today live on 800 varieties of plant foods. Most Americans live primarily on three: corn, soy, and wheat. The next one is one-third of Americans get 47% of their calories from junk foods. That's kind of a given. Welcome to America. We are the most obese country ever. Number three, the average American is eating 300 more calories each day than he or she did in 1985. Added sweeteners account for 23% of those additional calories. Added fats is 24%. Vitamin D deficiency is widespread. The following health problems have been linked to vitamin D deficiency: type 1 and 2 diabetes, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, osteoporosis, increased susceptibility to infection, osteoporosis, low birth weight in infants, low seizure threshold, cancers, so many that are listed here. I'm not going to go over all of them. Wheezing in childhood and compromised muscle strength and falls in the elderly. That's a lot. I'm out of breath. The next one is the price of fresh fruits and vegetables has risen nearly 40% since 1985. The price of soft drinks has dropped 23%. The reason why unhealthy foods tend to be less expensive on average than foods such as fresh fruits and vegetables has much to do with the American farm policy. The next one is 10 cups per day of green tea delay cancer onset 8.7 years in Japanese women and 3 years in Japanese men. The next one is three meta-analysis of randomized placebo-controlled trials found a 15 to 12% decrease in cholesterol levels in hyperlipidemic patients after at least 30 days treatment with 600 to 900 milligrams of garlic extract. The next one is maternal limitation of seafood consumption to less than 340 grams per week during pregnancy did not protect the children from adverse outcomes. In contrast, this observational study did the opposite. The next one, there are a lot of hopeful trends, including the rise of alternative agriculture, organic, local, biodynamic. There are now 4,000 farmers markets in the U.S. The number has doubled in 10 years, which is very promising. The next one is chocolate may have a mild hypotensive, which is blood pressure lowering effect. And that's great. So now I think it's a good time to talk about obesity in America. And this is not a fun thing to talk about. It's awful, and it's not my usual fun fact list for the nutrition segment. This topic is super concerning to me, so let's get started. But just a little clarification before that. Overweight refers to an excess amount of body weight that may come from muscles, bone, fat, and water, while obesity refers to an excess amount of body fat only. So adults, the percent of adults aged 20 years and over who are obese in America is 35.1%. And that was a stat taken in 2011. The next one, the percent of adults age 20 years and over who are overweight, including obesity, is 69%. And that stat was taken in 2012. That's over half the population. For children and adolescents, the percent of adolescents age 12 and 19 years who are obese is 20.5%. the percent of children ages 6 to 11 years who are obese is 17.7%, and the percent of children age 2 to 5 years who are obese is 8.4%. So after that depressing segment, I'm going to take a quick break, and I will be back to talk about how to improve your runs right here on Penguin Radio.
Space tourist.
Real news.
Benedict the 16th time as a pope has come to a historic end Thursday.
The Penguin Press Pass. Real students, real news. Only on radio.dominican.edu.
It only takes 2 seconds to buckle up. 2 seconds. According to the California Office in Traffic Safety, California will be looking for drivers and passengers who don't buckle up. The Click It or Ticket campaign debuted in California in 2005, and since then, 92.5% more vehicle occupants have started buckling up. So when you load your family for a road trip, a trek across town, or just driving to school, do it safely. Every trip, every time, every day, every night. Be a good example. Click It or Ticket.
Welcome back to Keeping It Fit. You're listening to Penguin Radio. For this segment, I'm going to talk about how to improve your runs and how to run faster. So let's just jump right into it. Plyometric moves like squat jumps and single leg hops build explosive power that makes you a speedier runner, according to new research in the Journal of strength and conditioning research. During the study, athletes did plyometrics 3 times a week. After 14 days, the participants' ground contact time, which is how many milliseconds their feet spent on the ground per step, decreased significantly, resulting in more frequent strides and faster pace. They shaved 2.1% off their sprint times. And an earlier study found that endurance runners significantly improved their pace after 6 weeks of plyo training. Here's where the boost comes from. Every time your foot pushes off the ground, your legs release energy to power you forward. Plyometrics strengthens muscles and recruits new ones to make your legs more efficient during that process. Dynamic exercises train your muscles to exert considerable power in a short amount of time. The study's a bonus plyo payoff. Running is a high-impact activity, of course, but jumping exercises trains your muscles to absorb the impact, upping your overall endurance. Meanwhile, you're teaching your nervous system and connective tissue to become more responsive. Strong, responsive legs are able to go the distance with less effort. Ready to take the leap? Although research on female college athletes found that adding plyometrics to a training regimen helped them fend off injuries by improving joint health and stability, the moves are high intensity, so start slow. Begin with 2 sessions a week, working up to longer, more frequent workouts, and phase out plyometrics beginning 10 days before a big race to maximize the benefits without overtaxing your body. So here's a little preview of the workout. Jog 2 miles to warm up, and then do one of the routines below, designed by Andrew Castor, coach for the Mammoth Track Club. Do each workout once a week, adding 2 reps to the jump sets each week until you've hit 12. So the first workout is alternating lunge jumps, single leg jumps, and a reverse run. And the second workout is box jumps, toe taps, and skips. And this next article I found was on greatlist.com. It said that if you wanted to become a fast runner, you have to practice running fast, obviously. These tips will help you have harder, better, faster, stronger workouts, smoke the competition, and maybe even set a new speedy PR. The first form of advice is to nail good form. The key to running at any speed is to practice proper running technique. That means keeping the upper body tall yet relaxed, striking the ground with midfoot landing under the hip, and swinging the arms forward and back at low 90-degree angles. The next one is to count your steps. Get familiar with stride turnover, or the rate of steps taken while running, regardless of pace. The fastest, most efficient runners have a cadence of around 180 steps per mile and keep their feet close to the ground with light, short, and speedy steps. To find your magic number, run for 1 minute and count the number of times that your right foot hits the ground, and then multiply it by 2. The next one is get low, get high. If you're short on gym time, try speed training, interval training, or alternating periods of high and low intensity while exercising. And those are just one way to build speed and endurance and burn major calories in less time as well. The next one is stride right. There's a reason you see all those real runners doing short sprints before a big road race. Striders, or strides, are a series of comfortable sprints, usually 8 to 12, between 50 to 200 meters each, to improve acceleration technique. Number 5 is run on the treadmill. If you feel the need for speed, chase it down on the treadmill. Because the speed belt assists with leg turnover, it's actually easier to run faster. Plus, the power to push the pace is right at your fingertips. A word of advice, get on the machine before turning up the dial. Number 6 on the list is stretch it out. The jury is still out on whether static stretches before running really prevents injuries, but leaders of the pack know stretching daily, target the hip flexors, increase flexibility for better strides. Number 7 is pick a pace. Alternating jogs and sprints will gradually build up speed and endurance, plus you can call the shots on when to switch it up. The next one on the list is jump on it. Take a lesson from Marky Mark in The Fighter and grab a jump rope. Boxers know that fast feet mean fast hands, but for runners, fast feet just equal faster feet. The next one is lighten up. Even if barefoot running isn't your thing, sneakers are getting lighter and lighter to mimic the foot's natural movement and improve stride. Try a minimalist pair to see if less weights mean more energy for faster feet. And I went over this in my first show. I don't recommend this, but this website does. So the next one on the list is get to the core. Fast and fit go hard, hand in hand. Stronger core muscles, especially the lower abs, allow runners to tap into more force and speed out on the road. The best part is just 15 minutes of core work a few days a week is enough for a faster finish. Number 11 on this list is to breathe. Just do it much faster. Learning how to breathe while running at faster speeds takes practice. Use both the nose and the mouth while inhaling and exhaling to get the maximum amount of oxygen to the muscles. Also, try belly breathing, which means filling the stomach, not the chest, with air on each inhale. Number 12 on the list is skip the sweets. Junk foods guarantee a sugar high, but they also slow us down. Stick to whole grains and pasta instead, which provide long-lasting energy without the crash. Number 13, play with toys. Try a running parachute for added resistance, or if your budget allows, see what it's like to go for a moonwalk or run on an Alter G anti-gravity treadmill. The next one is head for the hills. Run just once a week up hills, and it shows to improve your speed, build muscle strength, and add a boost of confidence as well. The next one is add weight. Stronger, leaner muscles will only help when it comes to flying past the finish line. And while runners shouldn't necessarily take up bodybuilding, just 1 to 2 short strength training sessions a week can go a long way. The next one is lose the weight. On the other hand, research shows that shedding pounds, fat, not muscle, can help runners shave time off the clock, an average of 2 seconds per mile faster per pound lost. Of course, not everyone has the same weight to lose. So remember to consult a physician before starting any weight loss program. The next one, go for a spin. Spinning is all about hip rotation and maintaining tough cadences, and the same goes for running. So put the pedal to the metal with some cross training on the bike. The next one is look ahead. Simply looking down at your sneakers or turning your head while running to check out the competition can waste precious time. Instead, focus forward about 10 to 20 meters in the distance and keep the eyes on the prize. Number 19 is toe the line. The whole body plays a role in speed from head all the way to the toes. Pay attention to your toes and try dorsiflexion, which is bringing the toes up to the shin while running. Less of the foot hits the ground for a quicker stride turnover. Number 20 is keep it steady. Slow and steady may win the race, but fast and steady builds tempo. A tempo run challenges speed seekers to find a comfortable, hard place and hold it for 20-minute periods. Just don't burn out before the race is over. Number 21 on the list is Fill Her Up, Addicted to Coffee. Turns out that drinking caffeine prior to running gives an extra jolt of speed. Even more good news is that it's a totally legal performance enhancer. The next one on the list is Hold On. Holding planks could give you the abs. But special running plank, done 2 to 3 times a week, will make you crazy stupid fast as well. Number 23 is Strike a Pose. Get a leg up on fellow runners by adding yoga to your training plan. The increased flexibility from runner-specific positions boosts speed and aids recovery after a long sweat session. Number 24 is Get Enough Shut-Eye. Studies show well-rested athletes have better reaction times and clock faster finishes. And the faster you run, the more time for kicking back and relaxing. The last one on the list is Strip Down. When it's finally race day, take off all the extra layers and the fuel belt. The less clothing and gear on your body, the faster your time, which is why the pros practically get right down to their underwear to run. And that's the last of it. That's all I have for running faster. Stay tuned to Penguin Radio for my top favorite workout songs for the week.
Edgy, energetic, smart, sometimes crazy, but always real. It's happening here on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
Welcome back to Keeping It Fit. You're listening to Penguin Radio. And we've covered so much today, everything from how to run faster to why we should all work out, and then some super fun current nutrition facts. So now is my favorite time, and that's when I preview for you guys the best workout songs of the week, which basically only means that I like them. Doesn't really mean that they're the best. Not only that, but I really obsess over them, so consider yourselves lucky. So the first one I have for you today is by The Weeknd. I'm sure you've all caught on to the fact that I'm a little bit obsessed with them. This one's called Wicked Games, and here it is. Super good one. The next one I have here is by Major Lazer, also something I play probably too much, but hey, we can never get enough. It's called Original Dawn. The next one I have is by Diplo and GTA. It's called Boy Oh Boy. We'll be right back.
Mr. Counter beat the goal.
To play that one for a long time because Missy Elliott is my favorite part. The next one is Keys and Crates, and it's by Hypnotic. Next one and the last one that I have for today is by Mr. Wives, and it's called Reflections.
Still could be, but we're stuck floating.
That was my top five workout playlist. Thank you for tuning in to Keeping It Fit right here on Penguin Radio. I will be back next week at my regularly scheduled time on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. right here on Penguin Radio. Until then, have a healthy week.